Good morning. The subject for today, the principle of this talk, is no illusion is ever externalized. And that's a quote from Joel's book, A Parenthesis in Eternity, and the chapter Reality and Illusion, which we're going to cover this morning. And I feel it's important, and I don't know if you have the book, so if I read a lot of it, I apologize. I just don't know any better way of getting the message across than to use the words that flowed out to describe the truth about reality and illusion. All right, so let's begin right at the beginning of the chapter. I have the book here. Mine's all marked up. I don't know how you do with your books, but mine get marked up. All right, now, the chapter is Reality and Illusion, and it's very important because in it he explains that no illusion is ever externalized. And if you think of that, if you look at that, and again, I repeat that some of these things really stick with me and they haunt me for a while, and that was one that did. No illusion is ever externalized. And the reason why it did is because so many times we hear the expression, well, this world is an illusion, and this world is just not real, and this world is a world of universal hypnotism, and this world, but all the time that we're saying that, we're pointing to a world out here. And if we believe the statement which came through Joel that no illusion is ever externalized, then there is no world out here. No world of illusion exists out here. You're not moving through a world of illusion. And if you see that illusion as taking place out here, you've missed the whole point. But he explains it better than I can, so let's get into the chapter. And I'm going to stress parts of it. I didn't want to stress it all, but as I read it again for the umpteenth time this morning, I found that I was underlining practically everything. So I'm sorry, but we're going to look at this chapter. He starts right off with a bang. He says, to realize or to recognize that we live in two worlds, the world created by the five physical senses and the world of consciousness, is to bring ourselves closer and closer to illumination. Now, the five physical senses take place, as we said, in the brain, in the mind. So, to recognize that we live in two worlds, the world created by the mind and the world of consciousness, is to bring ourselves closer to illumination. Now, we have said that we're going from the letter to the spirit. Those are perhaps archaic terms. And so, to put it in more modern scientific language, we are moving from the mind to consciousness. And then he gives an example in our Bible. He says, in the first chapter of Genesis, God made man in his own image and likeness, without any help from anyone. This pure spiritual birth, this immaculate conception, is God manifesting and expressing himself and his qualities. Consciousness revealing itself as form. This is the pure, unadulterated spiritual creation, the immaculate conception of man and the universe. God, the infinite life expressing itself individually, without any material forms, processes, or systems. Now you notice he says up here one sentence before this that the first chapter of Genesis is consciousness revealing itself as form. Then in the very next sentence, he says, God expressing itself individually without any material forms. And there we have the whole secret. There are two kinds of forms. There are two kinds of creation. There are two kinds of body. There are two kinds of whatever. One is the pure, immaculate, invisible form, and one is the form as seen, or the forms as seen with the eyes, and felt and heard and tasted and touched. In other words, one is the invisible form which you behold while you're standing in consciousness in that high mountain of transfiguration. You behold consciousness formed. Or, down here in the human mind, you behold the mind in its many forms. You see? Which is why he gave us the Kailua talk, talk number 8, I believe, on flesh and flesh. Yet I will behold God in my flesh, means in the invisible consciousness formed. But all flesh is grass means the mental images. And so no illusion is ever externalized. There's no illusory world out here. It's all taking place in the human mind, and it gets worse than that. I told you these talks are uncomfortable. So, in the first chapter of Genesis, we see consciousness form, but in the second chapter of Genesis, God not only creates, but he miscreates, and because of his mistakes, he has to do it over and over again. He forms man of the dust of the ground, and then he brought forth woman from man's rib, and finally he decided to bring forth man and woman for the purpose of creation. This man of earth, the natural man, which is what the second chapter of Genesis is talking about, created by Lord God, which is mind, the human mind, is not under the law of God, and neither indeed can be. In fact, it's not a man at all. It's a mythical creation of the human mind. Now there you go. And so are you standing in the human mind, looking out and believing all these images are out there? Or are you standing in consciousness, beholding the one infinite spiritual body of God? Now, let us turn the page. There's nothing else underlined here. Let's see. If we could erase from our thought everything that we have ever heard or read about a person, we talked about this last week or the week before, if we could erase everything we have ever heard or read, everything and every opinion that we ourselves have formed, and say, Father, wipe all this away. I'm willing to start all over. Here's a blank slate. Show me, Father. Show me this man as he is. Show me his nature. Reveal him to me. If we could do that, we would find that by turning within with a listening ear, the truth would be revealed to us. In this way, we would know him aright. The eye of him would be born in us immaculately. That's how healings happen. Joel didn't set out to heal. He set out to attain spiritual consciousness, which is standing in consciousness, beholding the One. And when people came to him and said, would you help me, please? I have a headache. And he turned within and said, well, Father, I don't know how to, I can't help anybody. And I can't even change this picture. So he stopped right there. Joel stopped. And in that silence, in that vacuum, in that listening, he calls it, in that standing still in consciousness, he beheld and beholds the one infinite being. And that one infinite being and its form, because of his awareness of it, appears. And the person taps Joel and says, "Oh, thank you." And Joel did nothing except stand still and behold. And so, as we said a week or two ago, if you have love or fear or hate of anything in this world, then you're loving or fearing or hating a mental image. Yes, even that includes your wife, your spouse, your partner, your husband, your children, your grandparents, remember? And that's kind of uncomfortable. That's really uncomfortable. Yet, we are entertaining concepts which are within. No illusion is ever externalized. All these people are not out there. I'm sorry. It's true. No illusion is ever externalized. All of this is a creation of the human mind. Your entire world that you've been living in is taking place in the mind. You've never gotten outside of the mind. Unless through meditation you've stepped out briefly and you've beheld the spiritual creation or consciousness formed. And so he recommends that you turn to God and say, "I don't know her, I don't know him. Let me drop all those mental images now. What's really here, Father? What's really here? Show me, reveal him, reveal her as they are." And then in that stillness, if you attain that silence and the mind stops functioning temporarily, even briefly, only even for a glimpse, you will behold consciousness formed, the first chapter of Genesis. You see that? And so he says, "Are you beginning to see how much we all have accepted about God and about one another without any real knowledge or awareness or recognition or realization?" All right, here we go. The world that we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is the world the Master overcame. But it's not a real world. Now, you can't say that and hang on to part of it. You can't say, "Well, it's not a real world, but I like this, so I'm going to hang on to this part. I've known him for a long time, and he's my best friend. And I like the way he does this and he does that, although he has some character defects, which I don't really like. You know, sometimes he overeats a little bit." Now, wait a minute. You can't say this world is an illusion, hang on to part of it because you like it. If this is all or nothing, no illusion is ever externalized. So when he says here, it's not a real world, it's a world formed by our sense impressions or by the mind, he is saying it's in the human mind. There's no world out here. It's in the human mind. What's out here, what's everywhere, in and out, is consciousness formed. You're standing in the kingdom, dreaming your life away, in a this world that's only internal, and all the characters in it. Remember, this world is a stage, and we're all characters, says Shakespeare. He wasn't kidding. He wasn't being just poetic. He was declaring a truth. Nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Right? The world is a stage. We're all actors, all characters on the stage. And so if you fall in love, isn't that terrible to contemplate? Doesn't it make you really squirm in your chair like it does me? If you've fallen in love, you have fallen in love with a mental image that isn't even out there. But are you brave enough to face that and say, "Well, wait a minute now, come on. I want to awaken. I want to awaken. Show me. Show me the truth, Father. What's really here?" If you're brave enough to do that, then, well, how did he put it? "The eye of them will be born in you immaculately." Which means you'll have awareness of it. You'll have feeling of it. And that is the eternal life that you can love forever. Now, let's read this paragraph uninterrupted, because I feel it's important. The world that we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is the world the Master overcame. But it is not a real world. It is a world formed by our sense impressions, by the mind, by what we like or dislike at the moment. And so it is that this world of the second chapter of Genesis, the world of a man created out of dust, woman created out of a rib, and children created from the union of man and woman, this is not a world. This is a dream. You can't make it any plainer than that, you know. I don't know how people read over these paragraphs and these pages and these chapters and these books and just go on down the street. I mean, it shocks the heck out of me. It makes my thinking stand still, which is what it was designed to do, I suspect. And in the stillness, I have seen many things which eyes and ears have not seen. Now, this world of sense impressions is not under the law of God. Now, doesn't that make you kind of shake a little bit, kind of fearful? It did me the first time I saw it. Wait a minute. I'm living in this world created by the senses. I never get outside of my mind. And that world is not under the law of God. Anything can happen. Anything. I could get hit by a train tomorrow. Lightning could strike the top of my head. That person I love the most could die and never return. Yes, anything can happen. It's a horrible dream. I don't think it's very nice. Oh, there are nice parts to it. You can say, well, isn't that rainbow lovely? Isn't that bubbling stream nice? But tomorrow the rainbow becomes a hurricane or a tornado, and the bubbling stream becomes contaminated with ingredients spewing forth from a factory a mile away. Now, that's not a world. Oh, and the woman that you love can run off with another guy. I mean, you're spending your whole lifetime, and I am spending my whole lifetime, and all of us are spending our whole lifetimes believing that we're living lifetimes. And as he gets into in this chapter, the whole point is to try to take one of the opposites and change it. Well, we'll get into it in his words. The world that we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is not under the law of God. And yet, this very world that we are living in, which is the kingdom, is under the grace of God when we see through the appearance to reality. And so, I submit to you, here is the whole answer. All these books comes down to this. If you can see through the mind world and stand still, get out of that, even for a moment, catch a glimpse of the world of consciousness formed, of my kingdom, of spirit, of the light, of the one self, then you come under grace. So, in this world created by the senses, the unreal world of mental images, we are deceived by appearances, because in this world we are faced always with the pairs of opposites. Unlike my kingdom, everything in this world has its opposite. Up, down, health, sickness, life, death, wealth, poverty, good, evil, purity, sin, white, black, gain, loss. There is nothing in the world of sense that does not have its opposite. And if we analyze our experience, we will see that life is just a continuous effort. Human life is just a continuous effort to change one of the pairs of opposites into the others. Haven't you analyzed it? Haven't you looked at this human life you were living and seen that you're trying to change, you're trying to get just enough supply or put away enough for retirement? Now that's trying to change lack into abundance. You're trying to find the right partner, the right mate, the right spouse, the right husband, the right wife. And that's trying to change loneliness into companionship, or aloneness into companionship. Or you're trying to go to the right doctor or find the right herbs or the right yoga positions or the right exercises or the right diet to make your health good, change it from bad health to good health. And we do this over and over and over. We try to find the right job. We try to find the right career. We try to find the right this, the right that. And always they're changed from right to wrong. We're in the middle of a job that we love, and suddenly it gets worse. Somebody comes in there that becomes our supervisor that's really horrible to work for. Now we have to leave that one and go looking again for the right. And a whole lifetime passes, and bam, 60 years are over. 10 or 20 more years, you're dead. You lived a whole series of mental images and never got outside and never stepped foot into my kingdom. Oh, you may have read about it. You may have read about it a lot, but you have no awareness of it. In the kingdom of God, we not only do not have all these pairs of opposites, we do not have even one of them. We do not have life any more than we have death. Now, I think I told you this, but if I didn't, I'll repeat it. I mean, if I did, I'll repeat it, and if I didn't, then listen. In the kingdom of heaven, we do not have life any more than we have death. Now, you and I, we have been thinking in terms of the only life we knew, which is this individual human life, right? And we read the words everlasting life, eternal life, and we think of this life going on, going forward. But in the kingdom of heaven, we don't have death, but we also don't have life. What? That's right. That's right. Well, then, what is meant by the word everlasting life? What is that everlasting life? This everlasting thing that is never changing, never changed, never born, never dying. It's not alive, it's not dead. What? Yeah, it's not alive, it's not dead. There's something else. There's a third choice. We don't know what that is. We give it names. We say being. That doesn't mean anything. What is it, Father? Reveal to me. What is this everlasting life? What is life? I don't even know what that word means. You see? And I'm not going to tell you what's been revealed to me. You need to take that in your own meditation. On the next page, he says, the kingdom of God is the realm of being. Isn't that weird? I'm explaining things to you, and it's coming out exactly what's next in the book, and I have no way of knowing. I didn't memorize it. Anyway, the kingdom of God is the realm of being, divine being. Not live being, because life has its opposite, death, but being, possessing no degrees, amounts, quantities, or qualities. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. That's another one that can haunt you. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. That means the bad weather, the bad relationship, the bad health, and the good health, the harmonious weather, the harmonious relationship, the harmonious supply, they're both alike to thee who has seen through them. So he says, in this world of the senses, there is good and evil, and there is centering of attention on changing evil into good. But in my kingdom, we ignore the appearance and seek to realize truth, to realize God's grace and God's presence, God's power. The moment that we feel a conscious oneness with God, the appearance changes. And now to our human sense, the evil appearance now has a good appearance. Appearance of lack has an abundant appearance, and the sick appearance has a well appearance. But we are not fooled by the changed appearance. We know that in seeking the kingdom of God within, we are merely beholding reality or consciousness formed. We are merely beholding reality appearing. We come face to face with God, and we see Him as He is, and we are satisfied with that likeness. So, you see, again and again and again, what He did was not healing work. What He did was He shut out the senses. He created a vacuum. He said He has, in the Kaluuya study, He said, I have a knack for resting. That means resting out of the mind and just waiting upon the Lord, standing still in spirit, remaining silent and receptive to consciousness. And then there's the movement. Consciousness reveals itself, reveals its form. And He said in the Kaluuya study, said Joel, I myself have beheld that spiritual form dozens and dozens of times. Remember? And catching the awareness of that, then the appearance changes and more of reality, more of God appears. Why? Because you live in your awareness. You're not doing these tricks like waving a magic wand and healing somebody. You're living in your awareness. And if you're aware only of the mind and its images, then that's what you see, good and evil. Sometimes good, sometimes evil. But if you've learned not by might, no physical effort, nor by power, no taking thought, but by my spirit, by consciousness revealing itself. And if you've learned how to meditate according to the Kaluuya study series, chapter 10 and chapter 12, then you are beginning to catch glimpses of consciousness formed. And when you catch glimpses of that, when you have awareness, not thinking or thoughts or ideas or theories, but outside of the mind, you catch a glimpse. You have an awareness of consciousness, then it appears. And when you have awareness of only the mind and good and evil, then it appears. You stand and you live and you move and you have your being and your awareness. All right? So, now listen to this next part. This next part is so very important. This page and a half is the reason for this entire talk. To understand the illusory nature of the finite world is to grasp the kernel of all mystical teaching. To understand the illusory nature and the fact that it's not externalized. But if it is misunderstood, it can act as a deterrent to progress as it has in India, which has one of the noblest spiritual heritages of any nation on earth. Perhaps the greatest of all the Indian seers was Gautama the Buddha, whose revelation of absolute truth was so profound that while there are other revelations equal to it, there are none which have surpassed it. He had the full realization of the one self, the one I, which constitutes consciousness of the universe. And he understood and proved that the appearance world is Maya, or illusion. And because of its fruitage, his message spread like wildfire across all of India. Now the fruitage was his awareness appeared as harmonious being, inside and out. His awareness of this. Like Joel, he had the awareness of the nothingness of the hypnotic mind, but he also had the awareness of the allness of being. And resting in that awareness, people that came around him felt it and were lifted up. And some received healings, and some received awareness themselves. And so the fruitage, that's the fruitage. And because of the fruitage, his message spread like wildfire across all of India. But, listen to this, because many of us in the Infinite Way make this mistake. But his teaching of Maya or illusion was misunderstood. The belief that the world is an illusion led to a do-nothing attitude, a passive acceptance of the evil conditions in the world. His followers failed to see it's not the world that is illusion. And before we do that, before we go there, I want to point out what he's referring to. If you've ever seen pictures and photographs or talked to people from India and that part of the world who misunderstood Buddha's teaching of Maya and illusion, then you'll hear such statements as, well, it's just my karma. I can't do anything about it. I guess it'll just take 2 more lifetimes or 10 more, however many it takes for this karma to be lifted. And so, he says, it leads to a do-nothing attitude, a passive acceptance of the evil conditions. And it does. I have a friend from India in Florida, another friend in Australia, and another friend, well, I call him a friend, but he's the author of I Am That. I guess his name was, hang on a minute, I'll look it up. I Am That, and his name is Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. Anyway, he's a mystic, and I have no doubt about the authenticity of his experiences, because he explains things you can't know unless you are experiencing I Am That. But he also suffered from lung cancer because he chain-smoked. He had a tobacco store, and he chain-smoked, and he had cancer. And he says in there himself, it's just something the body's going through, and it's no big deal. It's an illusion. All the time talking about God and his very real realization of God. So you see, my friend in Florida, he does the same thing. He has a drinking problem. He also has experiences, deep experiences of God in his meditation. And his wife is saying, you need to stop drinking. You have to stop. You have to take responsibility. You have to get a job. You have to do this. I mean, I'm supporting. I'm raising the kids. And he's going on with, well, it's just an illusion. It's just an illusion. What's the big deal? You should eat, drink, and be merry. And then my friend in Australia says the same thing. This is an illusion. It's just something the body's going through. It's just karma. It's the karma of the body. Don't worry about it. You just attain your single focus on I Am That. Now, Joel says that's a misinterpretation. He says that's a misperception. So he says his teaching of Maya was misinterpreted. The belief that the world is an illusion led to a do-nothing attitude, a passive acceptance of the evil conditions in the world. His followers failed to see that it is not the world that is an illusion. The world is real. It has to be real. You're standing in the kingdom. The world is real. The illusion is in the misperception of the eternal divine spiritual universe, which is the only universe there is and which is here and now. You see that? Where's the illusion? Get this concrete. Get this. No illusion is ever externalized. Every time you catch yourself saying, well, that's an illusion out there, stop it. Correct yourself. No, this is mind. This is the human mind. I want to step outside of this. Father, what's really here? You can ask that in your meditation. And when he reveals himself, you'll know there's that you're standing in consciousness formed in my kingdom. And so Joel says here, because of an illusory sense of a spiritual universe, the mortal scene appears as mortality with all its errors, whereas it is in reality a divine kingdom, a divine universe. This world is God's world. It is the temple of the living God. But when we see it with finite eyes and ears, we see and hear an illusory picture of the reality that is there. The illusion is in the mind. that is falsely seeing the kingdom as this world. The illusion is never out in the world. An illusion cannot be externalized. An illusion is a deceptive state of thought, and it can take place only within a person's mind, not outside of it. He mentions also elsewhere that it's taking place only in the human mind, and there's only one human mind. And I'll leave that with you to look at deeper. There's only one human mind. Now, do you see the principle? No illusion is ever externalized. I've done some work in mental hospitals because I got a degree in counseling, and I used to go into the mental hospitals, some of the state hospitals. I've been to Camarillo in California and other places. And the people that are there really believe what they tell you. If you walk up and you say, "Hi, my name's Bill Skiles, and I'm a therapist, I'm going to run a group today," you might get somebody very nice sticking out their hand and saying, "Hi, my name is Napoleon Bonaparte," and the other hand stuck inside of their shirt, you know. Or you might get someone saying, "Oh, that's very good, my child, and my name is Jesus." Now, they're living in that delusion in their mind, are they not? Yes, they are. Now, but so are you. You thought you were well and healthy. Ha ha, surprise. You're just as insane. Which is why we have to be restored to sanity. We have to have a spiritual awakening and awaken out of the insanity of the illusion. So, the illusion, pinpoint where it is in the human mind and the mental images. And we said last week, this makes you uncomfortable when you ask, how close is the world mind? Only to discover the world mind has been your mind. And you've been living it and allowing it to live as you. Ah, but now here comes this person doing all these healings and the message is spreading like wildfire, and you get a hold of it, and what is this? What is this all about? And you discover first, hey, I can apply some of these principles and turn lack into supply, and I can turn loneliness into companionship, and I can turn ill health or sickness into harmonious physical health. And you think that that's the whole purpose of the infinite way. But then you dig deeper, and the years pass. And maybe these principles stop working, as Joel says in the original book, The Infinite Way. They stop working. Let's see if we can find that. Hang on. Yes, he says, in our real existence, the advancing student will gradually relinquish his attempts to improve humanhood or to improve beliefs in order that truth of spiritual existence may unfold in his consciousness. You see that? And he says, in putting on immortality, the first years of the student's search are devoted to overcoming discords and healing disease through prayer to some higher power. The day arrives, however, when he perhaps discovers the application of truth to human problems does not work or does not work as it once did. Eventually, he is led to the great revelation that mortals only put on immortality as mortality disappears. They do not add immortal spiritual harmony to human conditions. You see that? So, the day eventually comes when you have the great revelation, and hopefully you've had it, that you cannot add that consciousness form to this human life. You cannot add consciousness form to the mind's images. Stop trying. It never was what it's about. In fact, he says here, in our real existence, there is a constant warfare between the flesh and the spirit. Maybe you're experiencing that. And this will continue as long as we entertain any degree of corporeal sense, that is, material forms. If you have any degree of material forms, if you still see a he, a her, an it, a corporeal creation, then you're going to be involved in this warfare. And the attempt to bring spirit and its laws to bear upon material concepts constitute this war. Peace can only come when the structural sense of universe and the corporeal sense of man has been overcome. And Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And in the Kailua study series, Joel says he did it in one fell swoop. Yes, he did. He stepped out of the mind concept and beheld the glory of the Father. Consciousness formed again and again and again. Perhaps you're called upon to do healing work. That's good, because that means that you will have the opportunity to behold consciousness form. Now back to reality and illusion. We're almost done with it. In a parenthesis in eternity, he says, I'm going to read this paragraph again. It's probably the most important paragraph you'll ever read on illusion. Because of an illusory sense of the universe, the mortal scene appears as mortality with all its errors, whereas it is in reality a divine universe. This world is God's world. It is the temple of the living God. Now that's all that's out here. So if you ever see anything other than the temple of the living God, other than consciousness formed, you are living in an illusion in your mind, which is the only place illusion can be. So, this world is God's world. It is the temple of the living God. But when we see it with finite eyes and ears, what we see and hear is an illusory picture of the reality that is really there. The illusion is in the mind, falsely seeing the world or the kingdom. The illusion is never out in a world. An illusion cannot be externalized. An illusion is a deceptive state of thought, and it can take place only within a person's mind, not outside it. With our human eyesight, we see a world constantly changing. All of this is an illusory picture in the human mind, but because there is only one human mind, it's an illusory picture in your mind and mine. And such a world has no externalized existence, and neither do any of the people in that world. Neither do any of the corporeal forms, the material forms. He says over and over, there is no structural universe, and we nod our heads and smile, isn't that spiritual, isn't that nice, and then go live in a structural universe. What's going on? Listen, open your eyes, hear it. We are aware of the world through our senses, but what the senses cognize is illusion. An illusion not outside the mind, but in it. And to be able to understand and grasp this idea is also to be able to grasp the idea that this illusion cannot be corrected out here. That's why prayer fails. People are trying to improve an illusion, which he says, trying to improve or God add God to our humanhood in the infinite way. They're trying to improve an illusion which, if they succeeded in doing, would still be an illusion, except it'd be a good illusion instead of a bad one. So God is not in this world, which is taking place in the mind. Now, he says, there's a theory or a belief called pantheism, which teaches that God is manifesting himself as this world. That's not true. God's not manifesting himself as these mental concepts, which is why they can be smashed and changed and destroyed. He says, if this were true, if this world were really a manifestation of God, now remember, this world is the world in the mind. There's no this world out here. There's only my kingdom out here. This world, this world, this world is in the mind, the mind, the mind. So if this were true, and this world in the mind were a manifestation of God and made in the substance of God, it would be eternal. People would live forever. You could drive your car, it would never wear out. You would have trees forever. Okay? But the substance of the forms we behold are not that substance which is God. Right? That which is made is not made of that which doth appear. And once we perceive that, we shall understand the true meaning of the word illusion, which is that our perception of what we behold constitutes the illusion. So this world is what? Perception. And perception in the mind constitutes the illusion. You're standing in the kingdom, living lifetime after lifetime in the mind. We're not moving from letter to spirit. We're moving from mind to conscious awareness. We're moving from mental images, thoughts, my thoughts, to thy thoughts. We're moving from thinking to awareness of consciousness formed. We are undergoing a transformation, a transfiguration. Now listen. Other than pantheism, there is also one called theism. And that regards God and the world as two distinct substances. And he says, how impossible it would be for God, the creative principle, to create anything unlike itself. So see, there's not God and this world out here. You've got to stop that. You'll never get out of it if you think it's out here. So, he says, the next question is, what about this physical universe? And the answer to that is, my kingdom is not of this world. This world is the Adam dream. This world is mortal concepts. This world is mental projections. When we recognize this and are able to close our eyes and realize, become aware, recognize, have the awareness of I in the midst of us, then this body loses its sense of mortality or corporeality, and I have overcome the world. You see that? And it becomes what God's world really is, harmonious and perfect. And so he says, the truth is that God is spirit, consciousness, and therefore all that really exists is God formed or God manifestation. So the world that you see with the senses and everyone in it is a world in the mind, and it's illusion in the mind. If you can step outside of that even for a moment and behold my kingdom, then your awareness will be what you live in. But, he says, you can't do this with the mind, because that's the very one that's hypnotized. It takes spiritual discernment to know the things of God. So he says, let us not look out at this visible world and call it spiritual, because we're not really looking out on a visible, on a physical world. We're looking out, we're looking in at mental images of a physical world. So let's not call it spiritual. And let's not call it a creation apart from God. Let's cleave to the middle path which leads back within our spiritual center where we can say, Father, what is really here? And we see the Christ of God. No human being can look upon physicality with his mind and detect Christ. Only the Christ can reveal the Christ. And the Master asked, having eyes see ye not, having ears hear ye not? He was referring to spiritual discernment, or Christ consciousness. If you can look through the appearance to the Christ ever present, or consciousness formed, although not apparent to your eyes, you will be able to break the mesmerism. And when you break the mesmerism, through your spiritual discernment, you will behold the spiritual nature, even of a dying person, which is how Lazarus came forth. All right? We in the infinite way must learn to look through the appearance with inner discernment and there behold the invisible spiritual child of God who was never born and will never die, eternal, right here and now. Miracles can be performed by the person who does not try to heal. You see that now? What is there to heal? You need to step outside of the images that say they need healing. You need to step outside of the belief that you can do anything. You need to step into this eternal silence, into a Sabbath from thought-taking, and allow God to reveal itself. And so he says, on the spiritual path, we do not try to change an external world, because there isn't one. It's only my kingdom out there. We seek nothing of the world. We seek only the realization of my kingdom. When we see fruit on the trees, we are seeing the fruitage of an invisible life, and that's what we want to become aware of. Remember in the Infinite Way, well, in the Kailua Study talks, he talks about in the Infinite Way, discussing the orange tree in that chapter on supply, and how not very many people that he has met in the Infinite Way has connected that up with the truth of being. Remember that? Well, here he's saying it again, because he must have had a profound experience looking at a fruit tree, because he quotes it a lot, or he discusses it a lot. So he says here, when we see fruit on the trees, we are seeing the fruitage of an invisible life, an invisible activity. And that's what we have to become aware of, an invisible unfoldment appearing visibly. We have to become aware of consciousness formed. And this awareness comes to you first in your meditation, later with eyes open. So, finally, he says, to wrap this up, when enlightenment has been attained, the temporal picture is recognized for what it is, maya or illusion. Then, when we are faced with evil people or erroneous conditions, we don't fight them. We don't try to get God to do something to them. We relax. Again, he says he has a knack for relaxing. We relax out of the mind. We relax out of the body, and we relax out of the mind. Knowing that this is an illusion in the mind. And when we awaken from beholding the mortal dream, we will see one another as we are. We will discover that our neighbor is ourself, because we will see there is only one self, and I am that consciousness formed. All this will become apparent to us not through knowledge, but because we have developed a deep inner spiritual awareness. The object of the Infinite Way is to develop this spiritual awareness. The goal is attaining the spiritual vision so that we can behold God's universe. We can commune with Him, walk and talk with Him, live with Him. Okay? The attaining of some measure of this spiritual vision is enough. It is an awareness that reveals that God is spirit, that all that really is must be spiritual. And there will never be any confirmation of this through our eyes, because spirit or consciousness cannot be seen with the eyes. The eyes must be closed to sense, so that we can inwardly behold God's creation. It is a matter of attaining a depth of inner awareness, says Joel, an awareness that expresses itself not so much in words or thoughts as in feelings. And feelings doesn't mean emotions, it means intuition or awareness. I like awareness better than feelings. Now, do you see the principle today? The principle is no illusion is ever externalized. Right? Now listen, a couple of things. A friend of mine sent me, a Hindu friend of mine sent me a poem from Shankara, which as you know, or maybe you don't, but Joel really liked Shankara. And here's the poem, and it came to me just today, which was really quite fantastic because, well, it's just there's no way that he could know I was going to have this topic. No illusion is ever externalized, and yet, out of consciousness formed, comes this poem to us today. And it says, when one sees the image of the world within him, the world appears as if it is outside. It is similar to his seeing due to illusion during the state of sleep. The one real fact appears as many different truths. And he realizes when he wakes up and sees the reality that he is really the one and only one soul. Isn't that beautiful? That's just exactly what we were talking about. Just exactly it. And when you have that inner awareness, when you have the inner consciousness, the inner seeing and knowing and beholding of consciousness formed, or my kingdom, then you will have that inner experience which is portrayed in the Mount of Transfiguration. You see, the Mount is a high level of consciousness in which you behold consciousness formed, or the body of God, or the one soul, or the one self. And here's how it was explained. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now, that was Matthew's interpretation. Here's Mark's. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them standing here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days Jesus took them with Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. You see that? Both of these people had that inner experience when Jesus took them up higher and lifted them high into consciousness. Out of the mind, they saw the body of Christ. And that's your body. There's only one self, one soul. When you're lifted out of the mind of these many forms, which now you know aren't out here, that are only in the human mind, when all of that is released, if only even for a moment, you will experience the transfiguration, and you will see consciousness formed, the first chapter of Genesis. You will see the body of Christ, and you will see a face shining as the sun, and raiment white as the light. This is what you will see, and you will be beholding consciousness formed, the real creation, my kingdom in which you stand now. Now, I had a similar experience, as I've said many times in my talks, when I attended Herb Fitch's seminar in Avila Beach, Northern California. And in that experience, he was speaking on stepping outside of time, and I was in meditation. I felt lifted up on a high mountain, you might say. It was a high experience of consciousness. And when I opened my eyes, everywhere my eyes looked, I could feel myself in that and that in me. I could feel that I am that. And the entire world, the entire creation was in my being, and I could feel it. But I could also feel that I was the only being appearing as all of that. And so I lived and moved and had my being in the awareness of consciousness formed. And since then, it has happened in meditation many times. Well, we're out of time. This talk's going to run out, this tape, so just let me say the principle is no illusion is ever externalized. And wrestle with that until you make some progress and come into the awareness of consciousness formed, the perfect spiritual creation of God. Blessings.